can take a seat if you would, please. Inside your worship program, you have a bookmark that looks like this, and it has six Bible study verses on them. And each Bible study verse is for a lesson that we'll be sharing together during Better Together, 40 days of community. Today, I'm just going to introduce all of the subjects. And I'm going to introduce them as they are in your outline, not necessarily as they are on these banners. My outline is a little different than these because we're going to really focus on the five purposes, the five strategies that we have for Shadow Hills. Worship and fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and ministry. And when we put this program together, and you got your little brochure, if you looked at it and you saw the strategies that are in there, those are the things we said we're going to do as Shadow Hills. We're going to worship God. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to grow together in discipleship. We're going to reach out in evangelism. We're going to touch needs in ministry. And this is the focus on it. It's just a reminder that this is where we're going. The very first Bible study verse that you have is relevant for next Sunday morning. If you have not connected with a small group, you really, really need to do that. You're going to miss 50% of what Better Together is all about if you don't have a small group. If your Sunday practice is just to come in here and leave here, you're going to miss a whole lot of what we're going to learn together. In the Bible study groups, you'll get your printed materials. There's a booklet, and there's a keychain that reminds you where we are week by week. But the Bible study verse that the focus of next Sunday is out of John chapter 13, verse 35. I don't know if you remember the setting of this verse. You probably remember the verse because we've used it again and again. By this will men know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. Now, it's in a different translation here. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another proves to the world you're my disciples. But when did Jesus speak those words? He was 18 hours from death. He had gathered his disciples in the upper room. There were 11 that were authentic and one pretender. His name was Judas. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. And Judas has just excused himself to go betray Jesus. Judas, he shows us how close you can get to heaven and miss it. Because he had his hand on the door. I mean, he was right there 18 hours from the death of Jesus. And he missed it. So that left 11 disciples in the upper room. Can you imagine the variety of personalities? You have Peter. He's explosive and boisterous. And you have John, who refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved, kind of the quiet guy. And you have Thomas, and you have Bartholomew, and you have James and John, the sons of thunder. And Jesus has 18 hours left. And what does he say to them? He gives them this Bible verse. He says, your love for each other is going to prove to the world that you're my followers. Your love for each other. Not that you think alike. Not that you talk alike. Not that you love each other because you're so lovable. I mean, look at the personality. They weren't all very lovable. But Jesus said, I'm dying because I love you. And I'm going to give you the power to love each other. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what Better Together is all about. That we learn to love one another. Be honest and vulnerable. Encourage, lift up, meet the needs of one another. And we're going to study about it this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the challenge that is before us to love you and love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You listen to the choir. Majesty. We're going to be singing that and I hope you'll become familiar with it. If you look inside your program, you'll find your notes, and we're just going to look at these things. You know, we said that we want to build a community of believers, grow a community of believers that are passionate and reflect the nature of God. To grow a community of passionate believers that really mean it, that are really sold out to it, and reflect the nature of God. I don't know of anything that reflects the nature of God more than His love. And as we look at Better Together, it's going to be about loving God and loving each other. And we're going to focus on those strategic areas of ministry as we live out our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at your listening notes there, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experience with Him. You ought to underline that, through your experience. You know, I can stand up here and I can talk about worship and fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and ministry until I have exhausted everything I know to say. And you will not learn about those five functions as well as if you involve yourself in doing them. I can talk to you about worship, but if you involve yourself in worship, it makes all the difference in the world. I can talk to you about growing in your faith, but when you take the steps to grow in your faith, when it is your experience, that is the best encounter. And so for the next week, we want to make it your experience, not just what the teacher stands up here and tells you to do, but what you actually do with hands on in growing together. Growing in the knowledge of God and growing in the comfort of one another. And so I've already said it, and I'm going to say it a bunch more this morning. You need to be in a group. It's going to be hard if all your participation is in Better Together is in a group of 1,000 people. Because this group won't be doing things as an encourager to one another. Now, we're going to do something as a whole church, but our small groups are where we're going to learn that we need each other and that we have something to contribute and something to do. So at least think about it as you listen this morning to what we're going to do in Better Together. The first thing I want to talk to you about is what we're going to learn about worship. And I'm going to try to give you a couple of bullet points that you can write down and familiarize yourself as we go through each of these exercises. And so there are two things that I want you to write down about worship, and then we'll talk about them. Number one, worship is expressing our love to God. All right, that's what worship is, expressing love to God. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to write down is worship only requires two or three people. All right? Worship only requires two or three people. And then there's one more on worship. Worship is celebration. Those are the three things I really want you to remember. I want you to remember that worship is expressing love to God. That's what you did in those songs. That's why we sang that new song, Majesty. It's telling God how great He is. It happens in small groups as well as in big groups. And it focuses on celebration. Let me show you what I mean by this. The Bible says in Matthew 18, whenever two or three of you come together in My name, I am there. We know that God's always with us. We know that He's always present. But the Bible says if there are two or three of you gathered together in My name, in other words, you have gathered together specifically for the purpose of meeting Me. God says, I am there in a very unique and a very special way. Most of us need to broaden our horizon and our description of worship, because we think of worship as coming to this place, this property, and this building on the property, and joining hundreds of other people, and we worship together. Well, the Bible says that you only need two or three. And God promises a special sense of His presence when two or three are gathered together in My name. This past Monday, I went to the Nathan Adelson Hospice. And while I was there, I visited one of our men whose name was Eddie. And he really wasn't awake. He wasn't able to talk with me. And there were four ladies there that I really did not know, but a couple of neighbors and a couple of relatives of Eddie's. And we talked about him, and they told me how Eddie's whole Sunday school class had been to his room on Sunday afternoon. And before I left that room, those ladies and I held hands, and we prayed for Eddie. That was worship. That was worship in a way that you'll never experience in here. And so I really want you to grab hold of the fact that there doesn't have to be this great big group. He says, in small groups, there is a sense of My presence that you won't experience any other place. And then he says, I want worship to be a festival. I want worship to be a festival. You know, sometimes I've been to worship where I thought it was more a funeral. It was like the first church of frigid air. It was like you were looking down front. Is there a body down there? Are we supposed to be solemn and sad? You know, the ushers kind of skate down the aisles because it's so cold, and it's God's frozen chosen, and nobody talks, and nobody says anything. Listen to what God says in the Bible. Oh God, You are the one who rides on the clouds, and we praise You. Your name is the Lord, and we celebrate as we worship You. We celebrate. God says, I want worship to be fun. I want worship to be a festival. I want it to be a celebration. Why? Well, that psalmist says, it's because He is a great God. When we get together, we need to be reminded how great God is. You know why? Because when we get together, sometimes we bring our problems with us. And our problems can be enormous. Our problems can be overwhelming. And when we get together and it is a festival, it is a celebration of praise, we're reminded how great God is, and our problems shrink. And we know that God is able to overcome anything that's going on in our life. So when we get together and we express our love to God, even if there's just two or three, that is worship. And worship is a whole lot more fun with other people than just by ourselves. You know, I'd rather sing with a choir than sing a solo, and you would rather I sang with the choir than sing a solo, you know? And we get together and we worship together, and it lifts our spirits. And we're going to learn more about that. The second thing I want you to see, if you open your listening notes, we're going to learn about fellowshipping together. Now, most of us think of fellowship as something we do. This past week at Desert Breeze Park, there were two groups from Shadow Hills that reserved the park. There really was supposed to only be one group, but because both groups were from Shadow Hills, the person who was making the reservations didn't understand that it was a junior high group and a young married group. And it didn't make any sense to them that it was different having a crowd of junior high students and young married students with little kids. And when we talked with them about it, they said, well, we double booked. So what do they do? Well, they had their fellowships together. And we often think of fellowship as a time when we go to somebody else's place and we do something like that, or we have a swim party. That's going to a fellowship. Do you know the Bible says that fellowship is not what we do, it's who we are? The Bible calls us the fellowship of God. We think about the family of God, but the Bible specifically designates that we are a koinonia. We are a fellowship, and it's not what we do, it's who we are. Well, what are we going to learn about fellowship? Two things that I want you to write down here. Number one, we belong to each other. In the body of Christ, in the family of God, we belong to each other. My fingers belong to my hand, which belongs to my arm, which belongs to my elbow, which belongs to my shoulder. But it's one body. We just all belong together. And I don't know if you're a finger or a hand or a forearm or an elbow or a shoulder. You might be a toenail. You might be a hangnail. But we all belong together. The second thing you need to understand, we need each other. We all need each other. If my hand is severed from my elbow, it's not much use. And God says in fellowship, we belong to each other, we need each other. The Bible in Romans 12 says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs, look at this, all the others. Not just part of the others, we need all of the others. Why is that? Because God did not make us to go through this world alone. He didn't make us to go through this world by ourselves. And I'm not talking about married versus single. I'm talking about no matter who you are, just like you needed a physical family, you need a spiritual family. We need each other, and we belong to each other. Well, what are we going to learn about, this fellowship together in this fashion, this growing together? Well, I hope that some of you might join a small group for the very first time. I hope that some of you will make up your mind. In fact, I would encourage you. You know, you kind of know some of the people around you. You can either ask them what small group they're in, or if they're not in a small group, you can decide together to go together. Because sometimes it's difficult to go to a small group. You know, I told you earlier this summer, Mary and I went to Durango, Colorado, and we went to the Baptist Church of Hesperus, Colorado. And I'm not good about that. Because I know you see me up here and you just think I'm the real party guy and that I love everybody and everything. But when it gets to be a small group like that, I mean, there were 43 people in this church. You did not walk in anonymously. All right? You can walk in here, and if you've never been here before, the chances are we may not know that you've never been here before. But when I walked into Hesperus Baptist Church, it was apparent. There were only going to be 41 people that were there usually. Now there's 43, and Mary and me were the other two and three. We sat in the parking lot, and we watched people. Because, you know, in our parking lot, I mean, we have traffic guides and all this. And at Hesperus, you just pull up onto the gravel and pick yourself a spot and go in, you know. And I sat there. I said to Mary, I said, are you sure we want to do this? She said, yeah, you need to go to church. So, okay, we get out, you know, and you look at other people. I don't look like these people. I don't talk. And then you get in there, and it's obvious that you're the new guy. And so you go in, and they say, hi, you're new. Well, yeah, I know that. Don't make me feel bad. What do? I'm a pastor. Our pastor's on vacation today. Literally, that's what they told me. But our mailman's going to speak. Not kidding. Where do you pastor? Las Vegas? New Mexico? Nevada? Do you live in a hotel? The whole time I'm uncomfortable. But when we started singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. All right? There's three ladies up there. One of them's playing a bass, one of them's playing a fiddle, and one of them's playing a guitar. And we start singing, he's got the whole world in his hand. And we get to, he's got you and me, brother, in his hands, and you and me, sister, in his hands. Then they start calling out names. He's got Billy Joe and Bobby in his hands, you know? And I'm just waiting for him to say, he's got Mike and Mary in his hands, you know. It turned out to be a great experience. But it wasn't without discomfort on my part. And I know that because I know me. And I know some of you are going to, you know, you're going to say, I just don't want to do this. Listen, if you'll commit to it for 6 weeks, the fellowship that you gain will be amazing. It's hard. I know it's hard. You know, the Bible says here in James 3, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results. Look at this. Only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. It's hard work to build community. And if you come to church late and you bail out early, you can't build community. The benefits are enormous. All right, the third thing. We're going to learn about growing together. We're going to learn some things about growing together. And I want to tell you these 2 points about growing and then talk about them. Number one, we grow faster and stronger together. We grow faster and stronger together. And number two, the goal of growing is to be like Jesus. Those are the two things I want you to know about growing. We grow faster and stronger with each other. If you join a group for the very first time, if you serve in a service project for the very first time, you're going to stretch. You're going to grow because it is hands-on. See, I can go home this afternoon, settle in my recliner, and I can have my Diet Coke and my can of Pringles potato chips, and I can read a book on bodybuilding. I can read that book. I can even memorize some of that book. I can memorize the part that says, in bodybuilding, you lift weights so that it tears your muscles down so that when they come back stronger. And I could sit there for 3 hours reading that book. It is not going to change the shape of my body. Well, yeah, it will, because I'm eating Pringles with Diet Coke. But it's not going to change it for the good. You can come and listen to me all day long, but until you get hands-on, we are going to grow faster and better together and stronger together than we do by ourselves. The second thing I said here, the goal is to become more like Jesus. If you look at the Bible verse in Ephesians 4, it says, this work must continue until we are all joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become a mature person, growing until we what? Become like Christ and have His perfection. We must continue to grow until we are like Jesus. Has anybody attained perfection? No. Some of you are like, I don't know, I look pretty good this morning. No, you have not. And I don't want to discourage you. You are not going to attain perfection on this planet. But our job is to grow, to become more like Jesus. In heaven, He's going to make us perfect. But until then, we must grow together to be like Him. And I want to say this, and I want you to know, this is a tough aspect here. You are as spiritual as you want to be. If you're not growing in Jesus, you don't blame anybody else. Because it's nobody else's fault. If you're not growing in your faith, it's your fault. Because you have to make a choice. And by the way, it's not a choice you make one time 40 years ago. It's a choice that you make every day. When I get up every morning, I have a choice to make. Am I going to set some time aside and read my Bible and write in my journal and talk to God? Am I going to do it? Because growth is a day-by-day process. And you are as spiritual as you want to be. And if you choose to continue just to come in late and leave early, then that's your choice. And you can't blame anybody else. The reality is, it takes effort to grow. It takes effort for us to become what God wants us to be. So we're going to learn about growing together. Then we're going to learn about serving together. And I want to tell you 2 things about serving. Number one, we all need to be served. We all need to be served. And I know that may sound a little bit backwards to you. And I'll talk about it in a minute. The second thing is, we all need to serve. We all need to be served, and we all need to serve. Well, what do you mean we all need to learn to be served? We've got to learn to be served. We need to learn to accept help from other people. I know the hardest thing that a couple of people did this week, the hardest thing in the world was for them to write me an email and say, "Pastor, we need help here." But they have learned to be served. If you can't be served, it's only because of one thing: pride. Pride is the one thing that keeps us from being served. I'm too proud to admit that I need to be served. I'm too proud to admit that I don't have it all together. I'm too proud to let somebody else know that I'm struggling. We need to put the pride aside and say, I need to learn how to be served. And the other is, I need to learn to serve other people. You see, the Bible says when I'm down and I'm discouraged, I need to be served. I need you to lift me up. But when you're down and discouraged, I need to learn to serve. I need to lift you up. If you can't lift anybody else up, if you can't serve other people, the problem is not pride, the problem is selfishness. I don't want to share what I've got. It's all about what I'm doing. I've got to have mine. I've got to get mine. I want to get all I can all I get and set on the rest. It's mine. And the Bible says we're to serve each other. And so as I look at this, I think, we ought to pray two things for the next 6 weeks. We ought to pray, number one, God, use me. God, use me. The Bible says in Galatians, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Who's the community of faith? It's the church. We start with us. We start with everybody here. And we reach out and say, God, use me. Because when God uses you, that's when the blessings kick in. The second prayer we need to pray is whatever. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, God, I'll say. Whatever you want me to think, I'll think. Whatever you want me to give, I'll give. Whatever, God. Are you willing to pray those prayers for 6 weeks and see what God does? Whatever you want me to do, God, use me. And then there's the last thing. We're going to learn about reaching out together. We're going to learn about reaching out together. And here's what I want you to jot down about this. Shadow Hills exists to help any people any way. We exist not for us, not to get together for our cheerleading times, though we ought to have those, that's worship. We exist to help anybody, any way, whether it's spiritual, it may be physical, it may be social, it may be mental, it may be relational, it may be financial. Now, that doesn't mean that we've got all the answers, and it doesn't mean that we can save everybody's house, but it does mean that we pool our resources so that we can help anybody at any time. You know, the Bible says in James, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight. God says the test of your faith is not what you know. The test of your faith is not what you say you believe. The test of your Christianity, the test of your faith, is how you treat people who need help. And we're going to learn to do that. We're trying to get in touch, or we are in touch, with Caring for Kids, because as a whole church, we want to do a great big project. But we're going to be doing projects in the small groups. There are all kinds of needs. There are folks who they can't get out of their house. They need their backyard cleaned up, or they need a room painted, or they need somebody to get groceries, or they need somebody to take them to the doctor. We are responsible. God wants us to know Him and know others. And we need to invest our lives with one another. You know, when you look at this Bible verse in Romans, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they really believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless somebody tells them? That's it. Now, you and I, somebody told us. And because they told us, we believe in him. And it's our responsibility to reach out. How can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? Well, the answer is they can't. I want you to think about this today when you drive home. And you drive up the street in your neighborhood. There are people right there on your street in your neighborhood that do not know God and will not know God unless somebody tells them. Now, I don't know if it's you, but they will not know God unless somebody tells them. Do you know the difference that makes? I mean, we're not talking about a temporary thing. We're talking about an eternal life here that makes the difference. I don't know of a single thing more significant than you and I can do with our lives than help somebody know God loves them. Now, I look at all of this, and I want to pull it together. So I know you'll start putting your notes away, and that's all right. But I want you to think about this for a minute. Our God is a great God, and he's greater than any problem in your life right now today. And if you're struggling, I want you to know that, and I want us to be able to pray for you. I also want you to know that your spiritual growth is your choice. And you choose whether you're going to be a part of a family of God. You choose whether you're going to be baptized. You choose whether you're going to be a part of a small group. And in that choice is God's opportunity to use you to benefit and bless the life of somebody else. The question is, will you make that choice? Stand with me and let's pray together.